the paper on model-based comparative sensing for distant multi-party speech recognition. This is a joint work with Hervé Bollard and Wolken Jevar. The problem that we focus on is the problem of competing speech sources, which is a common and one of the most challenging and demanding issues in many speech applications. And the goal of our work is basically to perform speech separation prior to recognition. The scenario that we are considering is the case that the number of microphones is less than the number of sources, so it's actually an underdetermined speech separation problem, where the number of measurements is even less than the number of unknown sources. And sparse component analysis provides one of the most promising approaches to deal with this problem. The key idea is that we cast the underdetermined speech separation problem as a sparse recovery where we leverage comparative sensing theory to solve it. And we propose to integrate the sparse component analysis into the front-end processing of a speech recognition systems to provide some complementary processing to make it robust in overlapping conditions. So I will follow with a very brief introduction on comparative sensing to help me put the work into the context, and then I will explain the details of our method, which is blind source separation via model-based comparative sensing. And then I will provide the experimental setup and speech recognition results, and the concluding remarks will follow. Comparative sensing, in a nutshell, is sensing via dimensionality reduction. And the idea is that when a signal, the sparse signal X is high dimensional, but the fact is that the dimensionality of the signal is somewhat misleading, and the true information content are only embedded in very few non-zero coefficients. Such a signal, the information content of a sparse signal like this could be preserved via a kind of dimensionality reduction measurements, which we denoted here with phi, and be captured with very few measurements y. So in many cases, naturally, this kind of dimensionality reduction happens, and we can leverage comparative sensing theory in these cases to provide the solution. Comparative sensing in theory rely on three ingredients. First of all is the sparse representation. We have to come up with a representation of the signal which is sparse, meaning that very few of the whole coefficients are capturing most of the energy of the signal. From a geometric perspective, if the signal live in RG, in fact, most of the space is void, and the sparse signal live only in N planes aligned with the coordinates. A signal like this, the information content of it could be captured with phi if the phi provides an isometry to the sparse vector x, meaning that the distance or the information between the sparse vectors, the pairwise distances, are preserved in our observation dimension Rm. Relying on the two key ingredients of a sparse representation and incoherent measurement, comparative sensing guarantees to recover the signal accurately and provably by searching for the sparsest solution which matched the observation. However, in practice, we don't have a sparse representation in most of the cases. But for many natural signals, such as images and speech, a kind of a sparse representation, which we call it compressible, could be obtained by some transformations. In case of a speech, such a transformation is, in fact, Gabor expansion. The kind of a spectrogram of a speech has been illustrated here, and you see that very few of the whole spectrographic representation has non-zero values. And if we sort the coordinates of the signal, the sorted coefficients show a very rapid decay, which is according to the power law. A signal like this would be called compressible, and this could be applied in our framework of comparative sensing. Moreover, As you can even see in our spectrographic map, there is an underlying structure following the sparse coefficients. For instance, here you see that most of the large energy coefficients are sort of clustered together, which could we could further leverage the structure underlying the coefficients to improve the recovery performance and to further reduce the number of required observations. Giving a very brief introduction of comprehensive sensing, I will explain the details of BSS, blind source separation via model-based sparse recovery, which from now on I will just call BSS-MSR. We got, in fact, the motivation from the very rich literature in the context of sparse component analysis. And I have provided very few of the papers just as acknowledgement that I was mostly inspired, but the fact is that the list is much longer. And mostly the paper of Osgur Yilmaz and Scott Ricard were very much inspiring for us to have the intuition that sparse component analysis could potentially help speech recognition systems in overlapping. In many instances of a sparse component analysis, spatial cues have been used for labeling and recovering of the signals. And in this context, some work of Volkan Javar and his colleagues published in IPSN motivated us to formulate source recovery as sparse source localization as a sparse recovery, which finally our BSS-MSR is nothing except sparse component analysis which provides a joint framework for source localization and separation. But what is new about BSS-MSR is that we exploit the model underlying the sparse coefficients, we deal with convolutive mixtures, and we use a new efficient and accurate recovery algorithm, which is ALTS. Recall from the CS, the first ingredient is to come up with a kind of a sparse representation of the unknown signal that we desire to recover. The idea here is that we discretize the planar area of the room into G-dense grids. The discretization is as if that the grids are so dense that each of the speakers occupy an exclusive grid. So if three of the speakers are competing, only three of the grids are active and all the rest have absolutely zero energy. This is the kind of a special sparse representation that we could obtain for simultaneous speech sources. To obtain the spectral sparsity, we use the short-time Fourier transform and spectral-temporal representation of the speech. Now we entangle these two representations, a spatial and a spectral, together and introduce a spatial spectral representation of where we denote it here as X. Each component of X is in fact the signal coming from each grid. And if we zoom in, inside there are the spectral components due to the spectrographic representation that we work. And then the second ingredient is the incoherent measurement. Recent work of Lawrence Kering, published in some in the magazine of Antenna, revealed he recognized the kind of natural manifestation of compressive sensing measurements through media Green's function projections. This inspired us to model our measurement matrix using the image model technique, which has been already proposed by John Allen and Brakely. And the idea of image model is that when the room is in reverberant, and I'm speaking here, it's not in fact only me, but the thousands of my images with respect to all these walls taken together. And we could model these with the Green's function, with this particular form in frequency domain, which each component has been attenuated with respect to its distance of the image to the sensor and has been delayed, which is dependent on the speed of sound. So using this model, we could find a projection associated to each sensor element for each of the grids in the room. And now we pile all these projections and construct our measurement matrix phi, which is our microphone array measurement matrix. Now, introducing the sparse representation of X, which is our unknown, we have the known observations of microphones, which is our Y. We suppose that we have M microphones, and we have modeled measurement matrix with image model. The goal is to recover X from very few measurements captured in Y. And the challenge is that phi has a non-trivial null space, and all vectors coming from the null space will give the same solution. So according to linear algebra, such a system doesn't have a unique solution. However, the solution would be the sparsest solution. And this is what sparse recovery help us to and give the enough information to overcome the ill-posedness of nature of our inverse problem that we are dealing with. What we did here is that we used ALPS recovery algorithm. It was presented in a session yesterday on learning low-dimensional signal models. And the idea of ALPS is, in fact, ALPS belongs to the family of iterative hard thresholding methods. And the idea is that since projecting the signal into the whole space and finding the sparsest solutions is in p-hard, and it's the combinatorial problem, in iterative hard thresholding approaches, we kind of approximate in an iterative manner the sparse solution by keeping only the n largest value coefficients and discarding all the rest. And this has been done, and in model-based ALPS, what we did is that we kept only largest energy of the blocks and discarded the rest of the blocks. And now I move on to our experimental setup. So for the speech corpus, we use Aurora 2, which was non-overlapping, but we overlapped it with interferences selected randomly from HTMIT. We discretized the planar area of the room into 50 by 50 centimeter grids, and the reverberation time was 200 milliseconds. In two scenarios, we tested our method. One of them, three competing speakers were our target speech coming from Aurora 2, and interference 1 and 2 are active. And in the second scenario, interference 3 and 4 and all the rest are simultaneously active. And the result in the case of a stereo recording and separation using when three sources are competing are the following. Aurora 2 is kind of digit recognition task which provides training in two conditions. One of them, the HMM backend has been trained only using clean utterances, and the other one is using multi-condition or noisy utterances to train our HMM models. And the baseline of overlapping speech in clean condition is 59% and 61% in multi-condition training. And after separation and performing speech recognition, we could achieve up to 92% in multi-condition training and above 80% of relative improvement have been achieved in this case. And then in the second scenario, five sources were active, and one of the appealing aspects of this work is that we are very much flexible in the placement number of the microphones and the geometry that we could use. And in two cases, one we used only two microphones, and in the second we used only four microphones and separated the speech and then performed the speech recognition. And the word accuracy rate I provided in this in the table, we could achieve up to 94% if four microphones have been used to do source separation. And the relative improvement will be up to 85% for speech recognition. Well, the key message that I would like to convey was that the information-bearing components for speech recognition are indeed sparse in the spatiotemporal domain, and this yields to some compelling evidence that sparse component analysis is a potential approach to deal with the problem of overlapping in realistic applications of speech recognition systems. Moreover, we use a kind of model-based sparse recovery, which showed that we could go beyond the sparse. I'm sorry?
It seems like with this method, you could reconstruct the audio of the extracted source and listen to it. Is that correct?
All right. Yeah. Yeah, I provide some. samples to listen to it, but yeah.
The point Can you make a comment about how it sounds?
We could also have some kind of quantitative evaluations using like SIR, SAR, other quantitative measures which have been proposed for to do source separation. But since our goal was finally to do speech recognition, we just thought that the speech recognition results would give the best final performance or evaluation of how the system would work for speech recognition.
Okay. So I guess the question is really just this blind source separations and going through this multi-microphone that you should be able to hear the output from your source separation. Did you do that and how?
Yeah, we have.
So what is the general? Any kind of artifacts is generated. I saw that you have a reverberation time about, so it's still kind of serious, not so serious, but so subjectively, could you hear anything?
Subjectively, we have listened to some samples, and there are some cases of the overlapping which could still be heard heard in the background. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But not like the kind of musical noise that we expect from binary masking case, because the sparse recovery could be in some sense even looked at as a kind of soft masking, so the kind of artifacts are different.
Okay. Any more question? Last one?
Does your room response actually representing the whole thing with the non-sparse model? So does the measurement matrix satisfy
RIT
in any sense?
Well, the measurement matrix, it depends on the acoustic, the environment, the inter-element spacing, and many factors that have been in very detail have been considered in the Karin's paper. But in our case, RIP condition wasn't satisfied well, so we applied some kind of preconditioning by orthogonalization, and the details of our preconditioning are in the paper. But in theory, if Karin shows, for instance, for very specific acoustic conditions, we could show that RIP also holds.
So, well, I guess we need to proceed, and thank you again. So.